From the creators of the hit kids podcast, Who Smarted? And Netflix Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as math. Every episode follows Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time, packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs, making learning cool. Perfect for ages 6 and up. New episodes drop every Thursday, each stacked with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
Hey everyone, Darlene here, Kate Anthony's podcast editor. This week, Kate is bringing to you a re-airing of the episode featuring guest Jill Shever Murray, which is one of the most popular downloaded episodes to date, and it is all about the power of letting go. In this episode, Kate and Jill talk about permission, including permission to let go, permission to immerse yourself in self-love, and permission to live your life as you see fit. If you're missing your weekly dose of Kate Anthony, you can find her over on Instagram at instagram.com/thedivorcesurvivalguide. If you haven't joined her Facebook community yet, you can find her on Facebook. Just search for the Facebook group called Should I Stay or Should I Go? You can always hop on over to her website, kateanthony.com, to locate all of the links and resources that Kate has available. Here is the re-airing of Kate's episode with guest Jill Shever Murray on the power of letting go.
Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back, and now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact. Welcome back to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. I am your host, Kate Anthony, and I am so glad you are here today. Before we get into this week's awesome interview episode, I just wanted to tell you that this week, this month, for the month of January, this podcast had over 31,000 downloads. And I think I told you guys when I hit like 10,000 downloads for one month that I was like so like over the moon excited. And, you know, in the podcasting world, like downloads matter, right? They matter. But more than anything, what matters to me is that each one, those numbers represent humans. They represent you. They represent people who are putting earbuds in their ears and taking me on a walk with you, or inviting me to join you as you cook dinner or in your car, whatever it is that you're doing when you listen to my podcast, you are inviting me into your world. And the fact that in the month of January, that happened 30,000 times, I'm blown away. I'm truly blown away because that's 30,000 people doing the work, 30,000 people wanting to do better, to know more, to engage more deeply and more richly with their lives. And there's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing that I want more in the world. There's really not. I mean, oh my God. That's what I want. So thank you. Thank you. Seriously, thank you for inviting me to take this journey with you. And whether that's, you know, on a weekly walk or a drive or as you cook or clean or whatever it is, thank you. Thank you for inviting me in. back to today's episode. Today we have a really great interview with Jill Shearer Murray. Jill is a TEDx speaker and influencer. She is an author, a blogger, a coach, and the founder of Let Go For It, a lifestyle brand dedicated to helping individuals let go for a better life. She's also an award-winning journalist and communications leader who can trace practically every success she's had in her career, her love life, and more to letting go. Jill did a TEDx talk called The Unstoppable Power of Letting Go, and it's been viewed by almost 2 million people, and it grows by the thousands each day. And of course, it will be linked in the show notes so you can find it and watch it too. Her book, which comes out in May and is available for pre-order on Amazon and IndieBound, is called Big Wild Love, The Unstoppable Power of Letting Go. And she wrote it in response to the countless numbers of viewers who reached out to her for help and inspiration after seeing her TEDx talk. So Jill's awesome. She also spent a year studying improv at the famous Second City Training Center in Chicago, and she had another 5 years of writing a popular blog called Diary of a Writer in Midlife Crisis. Jill also let go of just about everything to put her weight in Shape magazine 12 times as part of a year-long assignment to document her weight loss journey for millions of readers. So, without further ado, my conversation about letting go with Jill Shearer Murray. Jill, thank you so much for coming and talking to me on the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
So happy to be here. I'm super, super, super psyched to have a conversation with you, Kate.
We are here to talk about your superpower or your area of expertise, but it's also, I think it's your superpower, right? Which is the power of letting go.
Yeah. I never really think about it that way, but it's sort of become that for me over the years as I've really started talking more and more about it, that, I mean, I've kind of become my own best student. So I sort of do feel like it's become a little bit of a superpower. And I actually think it's a superpower for anybody that can figure out how to let go. Really, because it's as good as any superpower. Because if you can figure out how to let go, you can pretty much find your way through anything and to anything. Yes. So is what I'm learning.
And this is so, I mean, I don't want to jump the gun here because it's so important for my audience and the work that I do, right? And I guess we'll get to that in a little bit. But why don't you, first of all, tell us how you came to this. Tell us the background of how this became your superpower.
You know, life is so weird because we never know how we're going to find our way to our superpower, right? I mean, I never thought that being stuck in a 12-year relationship going nowhere was eventually going to lead me to my superpower. But that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, I had a really interesting quandary, especially for your listeners, in the sense that, you know, I was in a 12-year relationship with a man who was wonderful. Who, I mean, I would say, I wish that he was just a terrible person. It would make this so much easier, but he wasn't. He was a really kind, loving person. And I wanted to get married. So, you know, I was looking not to divorce, but I was actually looking to have that experience of marriage in my lifetime. I was in my 30s and my early 40s. We'd been together for 12 years. And it took me
What you do?
Right. According to my mother, you do it after 2 years, you know, not well, after 12.
Well, exactly. I was going to say 12, like 12, yes. at 12 years, you might start to wonder if this is actually happening.
Right. Exactly. Right. But it took me that long to figure out, first of all, that it was never going to be what I wanted to be. And to figure out how to let go. And in that situation, you know, I was living in Chicago. I had lived there for almost 2 decades. And I loved living in the city, but I had to let go of that too, because it would have been really hard not to go back down that slippery slope of let's get back together. We'll make it work. I'll compromise. I'll accept. I'll make peace with whatever. So in letting him go, I had to let go of basically an entire life. So my job, my condo, my friends, at least in terms of proximity, right? My hairdresser, my dog walker, my favorite sushi restaurant, like all those things, I had to let go of them because I knew that it was the only way I would be able to really move forward. And, you know, doing that was really, really hard, but it was also so incredibly transformational. And so what happened for me is, you know, I moved back closer to family in Bucks County in Pennsylvania, and I actually was able to go on and find the love that I wanted and find all the things that I wanted once I let go and opened up space and did so much internal work. And so as I've gotten older, Kate, you know, I think this is just a natural part of us getting older is that we want to be helpful, right? We decide, you know, we've learned a few things, we want to go out in the world, we want to be helpful. And I was seeing people, friends, acquaintances, just people I didn't know who were really stuck in their relationships, stuck on what their partners were or were not doing, stuck on why they didn't have partners, stuck on choosing people that just were never going to take them where they wanted to go. And I don't know. What happened was I lost someone that I loved. And I thought, we're not getting out of here alive. Like, this is just, we don't have time to hold on to that which is no longer serving us. We do not have that luxury. And I just became very passionate about it and decided I was going to get up on a big stage, you know, while I was retaining fluid. And there were 12,000 cameras pointed at me and my mother in the audience. And I was going to tell this, you know, very honest story of about how I was stuck for a really long time and how I, you know, what sort of brought me to the choice of letting go. And you know, hopefully I could share some of that, those learnings with the people who watched my talk. And it's just been amazing ever since then. Yeah. Superpower away.
Yeah. This is your TEDx talk that
yes.
will be linked in the show notes so that everyone can, you know, can watch it. Cause as you should, because it's amazing.
Great. Oh, thank you.
I mean, your story is, I mean, it's really powerful, right? Because we hold on for so many reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Most of them are stories that we're telling ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
About our worth, about, yep. right. About what we, and as women in particular, I think as women in relationships, in cis hetero relationships, right. Let's get really fucking specific about this.
Mm-hmm.
We tell ourselves stories that A, we're nothing if we don't have a man. And if we let go of this relationship, we'll never find another man. So therefore,
that's right.
We'll be unworthy and we will be nothing, right? And in your case, you found someone, you found love, and you're, you know, in my case, I'm still single, you know, and I'm happy.
You know, I say this and I say this in my book, I talk about how, and this is no slight to my parents, this is no slight, but we came from a generation where, you know, we didn't talk about loving ourselves. The prize was finding a man. That was the prize.
Not even a man who loves you or who treats
No, that's
you.
Right.
Like none of that. Just finding the man, a man who's willing to marry you. Like that was pretty much
right. If he was, and you know, maybe, you know, if he had a little money and he was Jewish, you know, and he loved his mother-in-law, you know, that those were all good positive things. And I just think, you know, coming from that era, I mean, nowadays, you know, we're having that conversation around self-love, which is what I call big wild love. Back then, no, we didn't talk about that.
Nope.
We talked about how can you be the perfect specimen in order to attract
yes.
someone who will take care of you.
Yes.
Someone. Yeah.
And if you don't find it, then you're doing something wrong.
Right. That's right.
I was just having a conversation with a male coach about this and mm-hmm. it kind of like, because, you know, the idea was, oh, well, if, you know, I said something about like me still being single and I haven't found, you know, like what's going on in the world today. And he was like, well, if you haven't found it, it's because you haven't done this, that, and the other. And once you get to that layer of unfolding, then you obviously haven't done enough work and blah, 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 blah. Right. And I'm like, no, I refuse for this to be a misogynistic, you know, mm-hmm. that. And meanwhile, by the way, he's single.
Right. That's right.
But the same rules don't apply to him.
Right. They don't. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the the overarching conversation is that we have to do more, that if we don't have it, there's something wrong with us. There's another layer that we haven't uncovered. There's more work that we have to do. Right. And that, by the way, that may be true, right? We're mm-hmm. always doing work.
Right.
In my opinion, we must always be doing work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we are mm-hmm. still enough and beautiful and perfect as we are. And
yes.
Right. And worthy of love. Right. No, like,
We have to believe that.
But we have to believe it. And we're working against the societal messaging, the cultural, you know, the patriarchal messaging that tells us that we're not.
Right.
No, that we shouldn't.
We're not. We have to look a certain way. We have to be a certain age. We have to behave a certain way. There's certain protocol. There's certain, you know, rules of convention that we have to follow. But see, I think that that's just no background noise.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos. Really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
I mean, when it comes to letting go, what I love about this conversation is that I love the idea of we're always working on ourselves, because I think people think once we let go of something, we're done.
Yes.
We're never done.
We're never done.
We're never done. And I can tell you that when I left my relationship, I was 42. And
you were like a washed up old spinster.
Correct. I was in my own limiting belief mind,
100%, right?
Which is one of the reasons why I stayed so long. You know, aside right. from the fact that this person was very lovable and very wonderful, I always knew for many, many years he was never ever going to want what I did. That was never going to happen. So I reasoned and negotiated with myself a lot. Okay, well, but I have this, and then if I don't have this, then I may not get again. And see, letting go is all about risk. There's so much risk involved. And so if you don't have that ground under your feet, if you don't have that big wild love piece, which to me, in a very basic nutshell, is I've reversed those limiting beliefs, or I am so aware of these limiting beliefs that I am going to be hypervigilant to them when they show up in my brain.
Yes.
Because you may never get rid of them entirely.
No, you don't.
And that was the challenge for me, because I was raised probably like a lot of other women with the belief that I had to be a perfect size six to be loved. And at 42, I was not a perfect size six. I don't know what was going on behind me. Thank God I couldn't see it. But I had to once again wrestle with that belief that, you know what, now I'm 42. Now I'm going out into the dating world. Here come all the limiting beliefs, right? I'm too fat to find love. Men want younger women. My days are over. I'm a spinster. I'm washed up. I'm the old aunt with the tissues rolled up in my sleeve. Who's going to want me? Maybe I should just give it up. I'm destined to be alone. Like, they start screaming and raging at you. And maybe you can get rid of some of those limiting beliefs. But as long as you're alive and you leave the house and life changes, it's always going to poke at you. I say life is always trying to call us home to old wounds. So it's about being very vigilant and knowing that letting go is an art and a practice. But if you have it in your pocket, you learn to know when to reach for it. And you learn to know when that belief, that thought, hey, you are not a size six girlfriend. No one is going to love you. Because that's how I felt even in my relationship, when I would go up and down on the scale and do all that kind of thing. But there he was. He was always there. And yes, it was not perfect, but how could I leave that, right? How could I let go of that and take that risk? But once I figured out that, you know what, I was worthy of the things that I wanted, and even more importantly, that there were so many ways to have a happy life, that if I never met anyone and I never got married, I would still have a happy life, because I'm awesome.
And by the way, yes, you are.
Right.
So there's like a million things I want to say and a million questions I want to ask.
But
we keep talking about letting go.
Yes.
Right? Like, and we're talking, so let's break it down. Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
Right. Like, what is letting go?
Because
here's the thing. Like, we do this a lot, I think, in our society, in our culture, certainly in the personal development sphere. Well, actually, mm-hmm. in the personal development sphere, I think we grab it back, right? But in the like faux, you know, we're like, you just have to let go, right? Or mm-hmm. you just have to be more confident, or you just have, there is work, right? This is not
work.
A meme. This is not
no.
a meme. What does no. it mean to let go?
I can't tell you, Kate, how many people sing that Frozen song to me. Like, if I wake up and I'm having just a rotten day.
I haven't even thought of it. God damn it. Now you put it in my.
I'm sorry. It's horrible too, because it just lingers and it just won't go away. But, and they'll like sing at me like, let it go. And I'm like, it's not that easy. It's like, it's an ongoing continuum. And so the way that I think about letting go is it like this. Basically, it's a binary equation, right? So if we're in a situation where we may feel unhappy or dissatisfied or particularly stuck, we can hold on for dear life in the hopes that things will change, making a conscious choice that we're holding on. Or we can choose to actually let go of it. And what that means is not deciding to accept the situation or cope inside of the situation or give up on the things that we may want from this situation, which I see a lot of people doing, and they think that that's letting go. It's not. Letting go is holistically detaching yourself from the situation so that at a certain point, you can really look at it objectively and see why it's not something that you wanted to stay attached to.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, I interviewed a lot of women for my book. And so many of them would talk to me about, you know, being in their marriages or being with their boyfriends or being even single and dating badly. And they would say, well, you know, I just accepted that was the way it was. I let go. And I'm like, that's not letting go.
That's not letting go. Acceptance. So, and I think we have a skewed sense of acceptance, right? Like, what acceptance does not mean that you accept what is unacceptable to you, that you have some sort of like, you know, yogic tantric sort of, you know, detachment and
right.
It's like, no. Acceptance is, I accept that this is the way it is, and you can still choose, not to engage in it. But the thing the thing that I want to go back to is that you said, you know, the first thing you have, the very first piece of this I love this. This is like in Al-Anon, we talk about the three A's, right? Awareness, acceptance, and action. And what we do is like we skip, like,
yeah,
we want to just jump into action. We want to just do action, right? And so the first piece is awareness. We have to be able to see it for what it is. And that is
huge.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. And
yes.
And this includes in the work that I do with my clients, right, is the inner critic work. You talk about like the limiting beliefs, is that we have got to hear it. We spend so much time pretending
that's
we don't
hear it,
trying not to hear it. Like oh, that's gross, it hurts, it's ugly, right? Like, don't listen to the negative voices in your head. Again, like simple memes. Like, no.
Right.
We got to hear, we have to be aware of that first.
And so we deflect from that by using the accepting, the coping, the giving up, which are really just short-term strategies that are designed to get us through the moment, right? Because we don't want to look at that. I can't tell you when I was in my relationship that I knew in my gut the truth, but I didn't want it to be so.
Oh.
I didn't want it to be true. So I looked away and I thought, well, you know, if I ignore it, or if I become more pleasing or more accommodating, then it will change. If I don't go there and I don't acknowledge what is right in front of me, then I still have hope that there's the possibility it will change. But it's a bad game we play with ourselves, because we don't want to feel bad. We just don't want to feel bad. We don't want to take the risk, and we don't want to feel the grief and the loss and the heartbreak and the sadness that comes from losing someone or that we love, or the fantasy or the idea of what we thought we could have. You know, someone in my position, here's this wonderful man. He's, you know, smart and handsome and caring and kind, but he just doesn't want what I do. He's never going to get there. But, you know, look what I'm losing, instead of at that time in my life thinking, you deserve to go out and find what you really want. And that's not to say go out and look for perfection, to say go out and find the person who's going to want to have a gloriously imperfect life with you, because they not only share the same kind of love for you and prioritize you, but want what you want when you want it, because that is so key. So I agree with you. A lot of the women I talked to, they didn't want to go there. And it was funny. One woman I talked to, she was young, and she was kind of talking to me. It was at a point, I think she forgot that I was even there, because she was like, well, she was dating, but she wasn't getting where she wanted to go. And she was like, I judge these men if I meet them at a bar, but then I don't judge them if I meet them at the gym. And then if they take me out and they, you know, cough three times, well, then I put them on my no list. And like, she starts going down this list that she's doing that she has no idea. It was like, she almost went into this trance, and at a certain point she like woke up and she was like, oh my God. And I was like, yes, right.
Right.
Wow. Right. That's right. Wow. So you see, it's you standing in your own way. Because you're putting up all these barriers. And so that's the work. That's the work that you do.
Right, exactly. To women who are contemplating divorce.
Right.
Going through divorce, right, there's so much that you talked about that, like, there's so much to grieve. There's so much to contemplate. There's, you know, children. There's the fantasy of the white picket fence. And,
right,
you know, like, all of the dreams that you have on your wedding day. Like, you know.
Yep.
And recognizing and the idea of losing all of that, and losing the home and the
so big
family, and right. And there's so much.
Yeah. I mean, I left a part of myself in Chicago. Like, I let go of, you know, the guy and the relationship and the home and the job and the condo. And I left, you know, I let go of my art of pizza, which I miss desperately, but I left me. Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting, because when I go back now to see friends, and I'll see the young 20 somethings, you know, walking around, or the 30 somethings. And I look at them and I'm like, that was me.
Yep.
Now it's their time, you know, but that was me walking around with, you know, all these fears and insecurities and just, you know, so much angst.
Yes.
Like, what was going to happen? Was I going to get this man to marry me? Was I going to be alone forever? Was I going to gain weight from eating that, you know, pita pocket, those carbohydrates, you know? Was I going to be okay? You know, was I going to die alone? I mean, like all these things that we are so terrified of, especially when we're younger. And I think that was one of the things that really compelled me to get up on that stage too, Kate, was, you know, relax. Like if I could talk to her, I would say, just relax. Just, you know, take it slow. You're fine. Everything's fine. You're fine. You're great. You're awesome. You're okay. Everything you want, just choose it for yourself.
I remember someone saying to me once, and it was really powerful when I was struggling with something pretty, I mean, it was ultimately quite trivial, although looking back on it, it was quite prophetic, but that's a whole other story. I think I was worried that my boyfriend at the time, who ended up being my husband, now my ex-husband, I was worried he was cheating on me. Which we probably was.
Okay.
Anyway, looking back on it, I'm like, oh yeah. But at the time, this guy said to me, and so what would be the worst thing that would happen? And I was like, I mean, he'd be like, if he's cheating on me, like that is the worst thing ever. He's like, but then what?
Right.
But then
so good.
I'd have to break up with him, and it like, and like I'd be brokenhearted, and he's like, and then what?
Right.
And then what? And he walked
and then what?
All the way down to the end of the line where I was like, I'm fine.
Right.
Like ultimately, then I save myself from marrying someone who's a cheater, which by the way, it didn't happen. I should have been saved. Right. Like, there was just like to
right. So what happens if you let go? And then what?
Right. And then what?
You know, and then what? So you feel bad. I talk about it as going through the tunnel of pain. I say, Nobody wants to go through that tunnel because it's dark and there's bats and there's birds and it's cold and it's wet and you don't know if there's any way out. So we stand in front of it and we just stare at it. We're like, I'm not going in there. Right. But you know what? There's only one way to the other side. And I think that's a huge problem. That's why people don't let go, because they're so mired down by, you know, what's going to happen to them. So I love that exercise.
Yeah.
That is such a powerful, powerful exercise.
So powerful and here's the thing, right? If you're standing in front of the tunnel and you're not going in, the tunnel is always in front of you. You are
always
staring in the tunnel. If you go into the tunnel, what's in front of you ultimately is a light.
Correct. Right? Just keep walking.
You keep walking.
I just, you know, I mean, for me, and I'm sure you can relate to some of this, but for me, that was, you know, snotty on the sofa, lots of Lifetime television, lots of cursing, you know, lots of grunting, lots of binge eating, lots of crying, you know, lots of victim language and bad self-talk.
Yep.
And then one day you're like, okay, I'm done with that.
Yep. It's like a mud bath, right? Like when you go and you do like a mud bath, like thing, right? You get covered in seaweed or mud and it's fucking nasty and it's awful. And then they wash you and
that's
like
it.
Listening.
Yes. That's it. I love that. Such a great analogy. Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Takes off all of the dead skin.
Right. Sounds gross and fabulous. But yes.
Right. But like all of that snot, all of those tears, and you have to do that, right? Like, and people, I think that, you know, again, people are like, but I don't want to feel that. But like, and then what? Like, and then like, what's happened?
Unless they have this deep sense, they've done that work, the big wild love work. Yes. And they have this deep sense of knowing that, you know what, that's not going to be a 5-star resort, but I'm going to be okay because I'm going to get to the light. I know this for sure because I'm right full of empowering beliefs. And I truly, like, they're not bullshit to me. I have worked hard to really own them. Yep. And I know that it's not going to be fun or pretty, but I know that I don't want this, that this is not right for me. Yep. With all the right things that may be there or the wrong things. Yep. And that I know that I can have the things that I want in my life, that they're possible and I deserve them. So I'm willing to walk through that tunnel. I'm willing to roll in that mud so that I can get to that glistening glory, you know, because I know that on the other side, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be fine. And that's really letting go is like, that's real freedom to me, because then you're just, you know, I mean, you're just not dependent on the outcome. And then you just, you know, try to figure out how to enjoy life, you know, living inside of that belief system, knowing that you've got to swap those limiting beliefs when they rise up, because they're going to. And then you just keep trucking until you find what it is you want. And there's just so much freedom in that. It's like, you know, when I moved back, and I really did, I mean, I online dated, you know what? I online dated with a sense of adventure and play. I didn't go into it with a sense of, right. I didn't feel desperate. I didn't feel like, I gotta find the guy. I gotta find him. Like, I'm 42. Here's the clock. Let's go. I didn't feel any of that. I felt like I may never get married. I may never have that experience, which I would like to have, but I may never have it. I'm clearly not living a conventional life. I have no babies, fur right. babies.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, we've already, you know, my mother has already made peace with that disappointment or whatever other people's feelings around that are, which are not my business.
Right.
And so I just went out into the world, and that's when I met my guy.
Yeah.
And they, people say that, and I hate when people say that, like, well, you got to relax, but it's not about relaxing. It's about reframing your life and looking at it through kind of a different lens.
Yeah. I sort of, it's that thing that I bothers me when people are like, you know, when you least expect it, that's when he shows up. Like, you have to not care. And then it's like, it's another way of saying,
right. You're it's not about that.
Right. But it really is about self-love, self-focus,
right.
Big wild love. Like, I love that you call it that you're cultivating that in yourself, and people are fucking attracted to that. You know?
They really, really, really are. People are attracted to the energy that comes off of someone who understands and loves themselves. And, you know, understanding and loving ourselves really empowers us to act boldly and to act on our own behalf. And that really is attractive to people. And I'm sure you and I have both seen people who, you know, maybe they're not the greatest looking people on earth. Maybe they're not the most successful, but people just drop around them because they have this unique sense of confidence and love and belief in themselves that is just absolutely contagious. And so when you have those things, you know, when it's time to let go, you know that it's okay to let go. You know that you're going to feel sad. You know that there's going to be a period of feeling like you know, just want to eat donuts. You also know you're going to survive it and come out the other end. And you're right. Cause you know, people would say that to me too, Kate. They would say, like, when you least expect it, when you care least, it's not about that. I would say it's more about when you decide you're going to have a happy life, no matter what happens to you, because you deserve it.
Yeah.
And you know that you can be happy no matter what, then all things become really possible. I mean, barring limitations of space, time, and physiology. Right. Biology. You know, like, all things really can become possible for you. And that's what I love about letting go, which is a long-term strategy. It's a long-term strategy. And you know, you do it with the knowledge that you may let go of something, and then you may have to let go of it again at some other point in your life when change happens or something happens, or you find yourself in a moment of drama or you know, a rite of passage when these things love to come up. But like you said, awareness is so very powerful. Awareness is
the first, it's always the first step.
Yeah.
It has to, like, we don't know what we don't know, right? So we're going to have to become aware of it first in order to be able to have any power over it whatsoever in our lives.
Like when I was, so I tell a story in my book about this guy that I met when I was online dating, and, his name was Mac, and he was really cute, and he was fun. And, you know, I'd been in a relationship for 12 years. Like, I was a little starved for some, like, other guy fun, you know, going out there in the world and seeing what I had been missing or being with a different person. And he would call me, like, that same day, and I would go out with him. And I was like, I don't like this. And then I wouldn't hear from him for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then he would call me on a Saturday morning and I'd be like, oh, yeah. And I was like, the third time he did it, I was like, old Jill, here she comes. Here she comes. I'm going to change that guy. I'm going to change him. Uh-huh. I'm going to get him to call more often. I'm going to get him to make a commitment to me. I'm going to get him to marry me and somehow figure out, you know, how to have this big life together. And then I was like, come on. And so that awareness piece said to me, oh, no. Yeah. And so when he did it the fourth time, I was like, you know what? I really enjoy hanging out with you, but nope, I'm done. Good luck. I wish you well. I wish you the best. Go find someone who loves this. It's not me. And I moved on. I was such a big, wild love. I was like, so such a big, big, wild love moment. I was like, oh my God, Jill, you did it.
Exactly.
You got
and,
it.
Yes. And with, you know, and like, you could have had a conversation and been like, hey, I would appreciate it if blah, blah, blah. But you knew.
I knew.
That you'd been down that road before.
Absolutely.
This was not that guy. We need to take a really quick break.
Yes. Okay.
Here's a quick word from one of our sponsors, and we will be right back.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
All right, we're back. Where do women in particular, right? Because I think this is really a female. This is a hugely female.
It is.
Where do women struggle most? Where do you see women struggling most? We've probably talked about that a million.
Yeah. Know?
I think there's probably more to talk through.
Yeah, I think it's so hugely and enormously the big wild love piece. I think women are just, we have so much to do in the world. We're so operating on autopilot. It's like I say, you know, we get on the bus and we let so many other things drive the bus, like the limiting beliefs and the pressure to conform and trying to be, you know, pleasing and trying to be accommodating and all those things. Then we go to sleep on the back of the bus while everything else is driving us. And then we wake up at places that we have no idea how we got there. Oh my gosh, we're just stuck there.
I love that metaphor. I love it. It's so true.
It's true. Because we're not stopping to take the time to actually ask ourselves, why are we attracted to these people? Uh-huh. Why are we staying? What's the payoff? Because there is a payoff.
There is a payoff.
And usually that payoff tracks right back to those limiting beliefs and that lack of big wild love.
Yeah.
And when we know that, again, awareness, then we can say, oh, okay, so here's my work. Here's where I need to shift and change if this is what I truly want from my life. And I think women are very stuck in You know, Kate, I talk to these women, they're in their 30s. They're so terrified of being alone.
Yes.
They're so terrified, of missing out. Right. Of missing out on the babies.
Yes, there's that piece. But they are. But even the ones who have had babies, they're terrified of being alone. Terrified of being alone.
And I say, you know, it's so funny. I'm actually about to do a post on this on my social media because there was a woman put a comment up on my talk. I love to read the comments. And on my talk, she talked about how she loved my talk until I got to the point where I talked about how I met someone else. And she said, I just wanted her to tell me that it was okay to be alone.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, you don't need me to tell you that it's okay for you to do anything. And not for nothing, being alone is pretty awesome. Like, there's a lot of wonderful things about being alone, and being alone is really necessary. You know, when I was many, many, many years ago, I was insane, and I was a Shape magazine. So I'm still a little insane, but I put my weight in Shape magazine. I was their weight loss diarist for a year, so I had to put my weight in their magazine every month for a year. This is like talk about letting go, okay? But they gave me every month. They gave me access to a body image psychologist to talk to. And I'll never forget her saying this to me. She said, you know, when we let go of things, when we let go of weight or we let go of people or whatever, we rush to fill that void. We rush to fill it because we just don't want to sit in it. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to have that discomfort. We don't have any time we don't want to have more time than necessary to be with ourselves because we don't know what we're going to find there. Mm-hmm. And I never ever forgot that because I think people rush to fill the void. So it's like, if I'm going to leave this, I need something else that's going to fill that void and fill me up because maybe it goes back to the whole, I don't want to feel bad and I don't want to know. I don't want to know what's happening inside of me because maybe that's too much for me to handle.
Well, and sitting with nothingness, right? Sitting with the emptiness and what, you know, with the void, right? So like, if I take this thing out, mm-hmm. Who am I without it, right?
That's right.
Who am I without it? As you start to strip pieces
exactly.
of your character defects and all of these things, and you start to strip them out, you have to do that stripping away before you can do the rebuild, right? In many ways.
Yep.
And it's sitting in that emptiness and being willing to sit mm-hmm. In the nothingness, in the void and the emptiness, that's the scariest thing. And I think it's the most powerful thing that we can
do. Yeah, that's the gold. That's where all the gold is.
It's discomfort. It's in between. It's the gray area. It's not black. It's not white. I don't know what fucking color it is. I don't know who I am without this shit.
Right.
It's awful.
So it's the rebuild that, you know, it's like the breakdown that leads to reinvention and reclamation and all those things where, you know, you wake up and you decide one day, like, oh my God, I get a do-over. I can do and be whatever I want to be. I don't have to compromise. I don't have to worry about, you know, what's already lost because it's lost. It's behind me. It's over. So what does moving forward look like? And what role do I get to play in that?
Yes. And this is exactly why my divorce was the best thing that ever happened to me. Right?
I read that.
Yes. Because I got to sit in that real ugly discomfort, right? And mm-hmm. then I got to rebuild myself consciously, aware, you know, really aware.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ugly and it was painful and it was all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 10 years later, I can tell you absolutely clearly that it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was probably the best thing that ever happened to my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it was definitely the best thing that could have happened for my poor child.
Right.
That.
Well, yeah. It's a whole other thing, but yes.
It is. But for me, as a woman, like, holy shit. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of the things that I do talk about it a little bit, but I really want to say is that my people who listen to this podcast, people who follow me on social media, people who do my programs, people who work with me, whatever, they have a sense of who I am now, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And what I want to impress upon everybody is that I was so not, and I'm sure this is true for you, I was
absolutely
so not this person 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So fucking not this person, you know?
Right.
And, but what I had a sense was, I had this sense that there was, that this person was in there somewhere, and that if I didn't let go of my mm-hmm. current circumstances, I would never reveal, find, build, open up to this person that you see now. But then I was scared. I was meek. I was codependent. I was, you know, I had given all of my power away, all of my power away.
Yeah. And guilty. Right, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I had this sense, I was like, I kind of felt like I'm a strong, powerful woman. And I was like, no, I'm fucking not, but I think I am. I remember right. this woman said to me
right.
years ago, just before, it was like 2 years before I left my marriage, I think. And she said to me, you know, one of the things I want you to know about yourself is that you are so much more powerful than you give yourself credit for and that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, what the fuck does she mean? Like, mm-hmm. what is she talking about? What? And this is what she meant. This is exactly what she meant.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's, I love that because yes, it's like if I, you know, and thinking about all my stuff that I'm doing now, the books, the courses, the talking, all that stuff, but it's really going back to that beginner's mind where we were. And I think even if you have enough of what you're talking about, again, in the frame of big wild love, and just enough to pull at that thread inside of you.
Yeah.
To unravel, like to start pulling it. So you're like, well, I think I have this. Well, no, wait. Wow. Look at all this stuff that's coming out that I'm pulling, all this amazing, powerful, you know, incredible parts of me. And yes, some that may not be so incredible now, but in seeing that, I can work through that. I can make that because, you know, what I always said is, you know, when we don't do that work, we are essentially agreeing to let other people decide for us what we have and what we don't.
Yes.
So I was, you know, I would wait around and I would say, well, you know, maybe he'll come around and maybe this. And it was like one day I woke up and I was like, why am I waiting for someone else who's given me over a decade's worth of information?
Right.
That yeah. I have to make a choice on my own behalf. So why am I waiting? And this can happen in love. This can happen in, you know, I just left my big corporate job, you know, which was scary as anything,
right.
But letting go of that again was, why am I waiting for something else to happen for me when I have as much information as I need to decide what comes next for me and to choose it for myself?
Yes.
And to really push through that risk.
And really what you're doing, right, is you're waiting for someone else to give you permission to live and to be exactly who you are. And you have, as you said, a decade's worth of information.
Right.
To prove that that's not, you know, we're all responsible for our own lives. Right. And this is it. This is it. This is the one fucking shot that we have.
Right. So, that's right.
And I want to say this like really clearly to my listeners. I want everyone mm-hmm. who's listening to this to really stop for a minute and think about this. Think about the fact that this is your, as Mary Oliver says, this is your one
wild
and precious life.
Right.
And if you are waiting for someone else to give you permission to live it, you are not going to get it. You have got to take that permission for yourself.
And I think you'd probably speak to this better than me, but what I would posit to them is, whose permission are you looking for?
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, I think once you figure that out, then you can say, oh,
yeah.
Why am I looking to this person? Because, you know, and I do think, you know, Kate, kind of to come full circle, that's one of the things that compelled me to get on the stage too, was, you know, it was funny when I was rehearsing for my talk, and I remember I would say to my husband, I would say, you know, I'm getting on the stage, there's 24 other women, and they're up there talking about things like, I survived 8 bouts of cancer, I am the most healed from progressive MS and never took a drug, I bring underwear to 30,000 girls in underserved India. And I'm like, and I'm talking about a breakup. It's like, but no, you're talking about, right, you're talking about something, A, that everyone can relate to, and B, that is exactly what you're saying, is what are you going to hold, choose for yourself? What are you going to hold on to? And what are you going to let go of in this one and only precious life that we get? The person who died, you know, oh my God, we're not going to be here forever. Let go of not yet. Do it now. Do it now. Do the hard stuff now. Put on your track shoes and start running through that tunnel. Yes. Because you know if it's the truth. You know if it's right. I knew. I always know. I always know the truth. I think we all do. We feel it in our bodies. We know it in our hearts. We know it in our guts. But it's all this other stuff that slows us down, that has us, to your point, staring at that entrance of that tunnel for 12 years, like 12 years.
100%. Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my
That's
God.
A lot. It's crazy.
Exactly. Right. So one more question real quick. Real
yeah.
Quick. So what should women, you know, we're talking, what is it that women should let go of in order to have healthy, happy relationships? Like, have we covered this as a topic, or is there something sort of, you know, is there a checklist, or is there?
Well, I mean, I think that women, first of all, should let go of being so, so damn hard on themselves. God. Okay. Because I think we're brutal about that.
We are.
And so I say, let go of having to be of all things to all people, let go of other people's voices telling you who you should be, what you should be, let go of being afraid to want what you want and actually go for it. Let go for it. I say, you know, I give people in my talk some things they can really think about letting go of, but I mean, I think let go of being afraid to get in front of the mirror and ask yourself all those hard questions, so that you can advance to that place. And one other thing that really gets in my craw, and I'm going to talk about this because I know I did it, a million people did it, is, oh my God, please let go of doing other people's work.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, I've talked to so many women, and you probably had this experience too, Kate, where they're like, well, he said, he promised, he did, he. I say, you know what? I want you to give me 2 minutes. I don't want you to mention what he said or did. Because
yep.
You know what? We're looking for... we're looking for understanding of another person. That's,
yeah.
You're never going to understand the motivation of another person. It doesn't matter. It means nothing whatsoever. It means nothing whatsoever.
We need to put down the magnifying glass and pick up a mirror, because what we
yes.
do.
Yes. I love we're that. Yes.
At somebody else. We're looking at them, looking at them, looking at them. And what we're avoiding doing is looking at ourselves.
It's the same thing around something like closure, like a guy who cheated on you, or maybe he's ghosted you, or whatever. It's wanting to understand that. Forget it.
You don't get closure.
Right. You got to get it for yourself, because even if this guy who cheated on you, let's say, sat down with you and told you exactly why he did, would you believe him? Would you believe it? Right. Why?
Why do you want to hear that? That's like, you know, what you want is for him to apologize and beg forgiveness. Like, let's be honest, right?
Which is never going to happen.
Which is never going to happen. So,
right.
Exactly.
So, you know, goodbye, good riddance. I wish you the best. I hope that your life is awesome. I truly mean that from the depths of my soul. Thank you for the gift of torture that you gave me, because I actually learned something from it. And I'm just going to keep on trucking, and I'm going to find what's right for me. If, like I said, if we can learn how to do these things for ourselves, that's if we can let go once we notice those triggers, and then we hear those limiting beliefs screaming in our heads, or whoever's voices we consistently need for permission. If we can recognize that when it comes up and let go of it, and have a way that we can let go of it, that is freedom. That's the road to having a life worth enjoying and being proud of. And it's not, again, it's not to say that anything's perfect. Nothing is perfect. What is perfect is not being stuck in a situation that does not bring you all the things that you want from love and relationship and for yourself, and that you know at the end of the day, you deserve. You have to know that the things that you want are infinitely possible for you. And you have to truly believe that from the depths of your soul. And when you find yourself in a situation that is not serving you for whatever reason, barring the sense of, you know, you're not going to toss everybody out because they chew loud. Like my husband is probably chewing right now. I can't believe you can't hear him. But he's awesome, right? So I'm not going to let that go. But, you know, within reason, you make those choices for yourself and you keep trucking. And don't worry about the other person's motivation, because that is not important and you'll never know the truth of that anyway. So it's always about you. That's what I say. It's about you. What's your motivation?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So where can people find you?
Well, you can go to my website, which is letgoforit.com. I'm on social media, Facebook and Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really spend a lot of time there. Facebook and Instagram at Let Go For It.
So you have a special gift for people, right?
So I do. I have a special gift for people. And basically, it's kind of aligns with you, Kate, in terms of when you're kind of stuck in that space and you're unsure of where you want to go, what you want to do. This is an exercise that you can do in 11 minutes to access the truth that is inside of you.
Right.
That will help you to find answers in terms of how to move forward. So I hope everybody will go to that link and get that download, because it's really simple. It's something you could do in a really short amount of time. And one of the things in it is just so supremely grounding. I actually do it all the time and it helps me every single time. And I have a book coming out in May, which I'm so very excited about. So all that information is on my website.
Yep. And it's all going to be. So yay. Awesome. Jill, thank you so much.
This was so fun. Can we do this every week? Because I feel very cleansed now.
I know, right? I know. So empowered. So cleansed.
So cleansed.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at The Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.